you'd think I'd known. Bob Church, prosecution counsel.
Kaylee Christensen, Utah County Attorney's Office.
Scott Sweat, Wasatch County.
Barry Huntington, Garfield County Attorney.
Greg Berish, Utah Attorney General's Office.
Will Carlson with the Salt Lake County DA's Office, proxy for Sim.
Robert Cosen, St. George City Attorney's Office.
Jan Barris, Morgan County Attorney.
Ryan Robinson, West Valley City.
Ryan Peters, Georgia County Attorney.
Jeff Buman, Utah County Attorney.
Tyson Skeen, UPC.
Dan Burton, AG's Office.
Ben Willoughby, Rich County.
Ron Waite for UPC.
Jeremy Hughes, Carbon County, designated for Hughes State.
Steve Garside, Layton City, soon to be dethroned and replaced by Barry Huntington. All right, welcome everybody. So we'll get right into it. The first thing we've got is the approval of the minutes from our last meeting. Anybody that had an opportunity to review that and any motions regarding our minutes from last time?
I move that we approve the minutes of June 28, 2017.
Motion by Mr. Carlson, proxy for
Sidney Gilby.
And the phone. Oops, I guess we should have waited.
Scott, is that you?
Yes, Stricker, how are you?
Hey, good, thanks. So, Scott Stevenson's on the phone.
All right.
Okay. We just barely did the introduction, so this is a good time for you to call in.
Perfect.
All right, and then Stephen Foote, just in the room. Thank you, Mr. Foote. How are you?
Well, thanks.
Get my stuff out your way. Okay. All right, we're just in the midst of a motion approving minutes. We have a motion on the floor to approve the minutes. Do we have a second?
I will second.
All right, second by Barry Huntington. Any discussion on the motion? Those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any
aye.
Opposed? All right, unanimous. We'll just jump right into the financial report. Robert?
Okay, so you can see we've had two conferences since we last met. The OOMPA conference, the CASA conference is there. We apologize that we didn't have the final CASA conference for BASIC. For some reason, University Inn is always slow to get us their final billing, so that's why we didn't have a final CASA conference from BASIC, so we'll provide that information at the January council meeting.
They're still celebrating last Friday's wins.
Thanks for bringing that up, Steve.
You're welcome.
That's BYU fan. The only two BYU fans here, we kind of have to.
Well, I think there's a couple other in the room.
Yeah. Okay, at tab C is the proposed FY18 budget. It hasn't changed a whole lot. The carryover for this year was finalized. That was $80,156. As I've mentioned in the past, with the new finance director at the AG's office, Kimberly Schmeling, she is just outstanding in that she tracks all of the department's spending, meets with us on a quarterly basis, spending as well as the things that we're paying out, the money that's coming in. And so it's helping us, Meryl and I, we have met with her to keep a closer track and see where we are. So we appreciate her and our thanks to her. So it hasn't changed a whole lot from June when I proposed it, but for right now, this is what we're proposing for our FY18 budget. It may change again in January after the training committee meets because Meryl and I have at least one more training, and possibly two, that we may want to add to next year's schedule, which would change it just a little bit. But for now, this is what we're proposing for next year's budget.
Are there, any significant changes historically?
No.
All right. Any question on the proposed budget? You want to adopt?
I don't know.
Do we want a motion to adopt?
Wasn't that done in June?
That was a proposed budget. I mean, since there wasn't really any material change, if you want to let that one stand.
Okay.
All right. All right. At tab D, is this the surcharge? Surcharge started in July. If you look in the actual summary, it has the surcharge for the last 3 months. So in June, we had $49,717 and change. And then you'll see on the actual surcharge report for FY18, July's was $36,286 and change. August was $41,000 and some change. And then you can look in the director's summary to see what the comparisons are. June was 10,000 over what we were last year. July was down a couple thousand dollars, and July was just a couple hundred dollars more. So, I mean, we've seen the surcharge going up and down, so the fact that the last 3 months it's been fairly close, I suppose, is a good sign. So, okay, tabby is just the closeout, the budget closeout for fiscal year 17. The budget, there's still some final numbers, as I said, just waiting for, well, not only are we waiting for the university end, but we're just still waiting for some final numbers to come in from the AG's office. Another of the finance people took some time off. Let's see, what month are we now? October and September. And so we're still waiting for a couple of numbers to come in. But the budget, the final budget that you have in your packet is fairly close. And Maryland's has it reconciled down to just very small numbers. So great. I think we're in good shape.
Any questions on the financial report or the budget from anybody? All right.
Okay. At our last council meeting, we mentioned that we would report to you how the regional legislative updates went. We didn't have those final numbers. As it turns out, we trained 385 law enforcement officers, 19 attorneys. Airport security, I tried to reach out to them when we did this first round, and I must have had an old email address, but they reached out to Greg, who then reached out to us. Between the AG's office and us, we're going to go out and do airport. We're going to be doing them next week, every day for about an hour next week. So those numbers will... All right, talk about that offline. Okay. That's so that those numbers will go up. Indigent person.
Indigenous.
Freudian. Okay. All right.
I just forced a habit.
Maybe so. Thank you.
Six and then.
Okay, I'm a little warm here. Let's see. Report on conferences. Let's see. Steve wasn't at OOMPA, so I'll report on OOMPA. I just highlighted some notes there. It was well attended, and we had some good comments. The one was the best conferences that they've attended. Fantastic job. Excellent topics that were relevant and useful. We have brought the canine out to, we've had them at Basic now twice, brought them to OOMPA, and I guess I shouldn't be surprised. But I'm surprised a little bit, just because I work closely with our canine unit in Orem, but how many prosecutors I don't think have a lot of access. I don't, you know, work with a canine unit, so we're getting really good comments that's one topic that they are really appreciative
which
of.
Which agency came to OOMPA?
It would have been...
It's Wendell Milt from Post.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
The head guy. He came and instructed, and then he had an officer from... I don't remember where. He was a trooper.
Yeah, was it
Southern
down?
Utah.
South yeah.
Okay,
place,
local,
so,
okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But whereas, you know, you brought the canines from north to Basic, and they're obviously all well-versed, well-trained, because we just get positive comments on all of them. So let's see. The DV topic they liked, immigration implications. So it was just a good conference. And then, Steve, you want to talk about Basic? You were there.
I was. Basic, we had a few more people than we anticipated. Have a good mix. We had a couple of experienced prosecutors that went through the course as well. The comments were positive. I think it's one that's appreciated. I hope that the offices are seeing a benefit from sending their folks there. It is a full week, but those that either have gone through it know how intense it is. It's the proverbial drinking from the fire hose, and we hold their feet to the fire, and I think that it was another good conference. The number of attendees, what did we have?
23.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we may probably want to bring in two more faculty just in case for next year.
Yeah.
I mean, Marilyn and I had a great time, but we may want to do that.
Yeah, as those of you that have gone through know that we try to limit the number of participants, because when we do the breakouts, we want to make sure that they have an opportunity to do, you know, we'll video a direct, and then either their opening, we'll do an opening, and then either their direct or cross, and then they'll do a closing argument, and they get a chance to redo those amongst their peers. And so they receive some good feedback, not just from faculty, but from the other attendees. And again, I think the networking part of that is huge as well. So mm-hmm. I think it's a good course.
Mm-hmm. And we added a lunch for the networking.
Networking lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One thing that we have taken out, just so council's aware, we took out the evidence lecture for several different reasons, but as I was going through the comments, that's one thing that they want us to add back in. So as a training committee, or as a planning committee, I want to look at putting that back in. But again, it was a good conference. Upcoming conferences fall. Hopefully you'll all be able to stay for fall conference. The training committee really did a great job putting that together. The fight before the fight is the theme. The agenda is there in the materials. One late addition was Kiza, let's see, I can't remember her last name, Kiza from the AOC is going to be talking about
Williams.
Kiza Williams, thank you. Is going to be talking about the new pretrial risk assessment tool that the AOC has developed. Beginning November 13th, the judges in the state will start using this nationally validated risk assessment to determine at probable cause hearings and bail hearings. We're going to record that session just with our little handhelds. We're going to get into the issue of post recording and whether or not we can afford to do that, but because we had a lot of people asking if that was going to be recorded, we're going to record it just on our handhelds and make it available. But Kiza, I imagine she'll be announcing this on Friday, is doing some of this training later in the month. We're going to try and work with her to kind of co-sponsor, find locations where we can do this training as widely as possible about these new factors that the judges will be looking at into determining pretrial risk assessment. Civil conference is back here in 2 weeks. And I wasn't sure where to put this discussion, but about what we want to continue to do with civil conference, and so it came up there with that. The situation here is I'd like to talk to the council about continued involvement with civil conference, whether we continue to pay for it, or whether we sponsor TAP. UPC has paid for the conference for many years. As you recall, last year, Paul Boyden approached me and said that there was a gentleman's agreement between SWAP and UPC that we would pay for the costs up front, and then SWAP would reimburse us. And because we had the expertise in planning the conferences, you know, we would handle the planning for that. And it worked fine. It continues to work fine. But because the surcharge was healthy, Mark never went back to SWAP to request reimbursement. So when Mark, I'm getting my names confused, when Paul Boyden brought it up, that was kind of news to me. And so we went to SWAP asking for reimbursement. There were some concerns raised that some prosecutors attend civil conference, and so that meant UPC statutory mandate to train prosecutors. And so the increases for the 2016 conference, but was reluctant to reimburse us for any conferences beyond that year. And so here we are at this year. Instead of us asking SWAP for money, we are in a position where we can tell them we're going to no longer pay for your conference and turn it over to them. With the reorganization of SWAP, they're talking about hiring a part-time person. I don't see any reason that part-time person, in conjunction with the SWAP board and the training committee that they have their own separate civil conference training committee, that between those individuals that they couldn't actually put together the conference. We're still willing to work with them and help them with that. But I'm not sure that there's a need for UPC to continue to pay for that conference. The equivalent conference on the municipal side, UMAA, they pay for their own conference, they plan it, they have their own organization, it's similar to SWAP. The municipal offices pay dues, and they have been able to successfully pay for, manage, plan their conference for many, many years. And looking at their agenda, I'm wondering why, or that maybe we could, the suggestion would be is to combine conferences, either to save money or, I guess, I think more importantly is just to develop that association so that the city people know who the county people are, vice versa. But the reason I say that is looking at their agendas, I'd say a third of civil conferences agenda next week is the exact same material that UMA had in the spring. And so we're getting a duplication of efforts. And, you know, and maybe we want to keep the conferences separate. And again, that's fine. I mean, that would be a decision for SWAP. But that would just be one suggestion is maybe doing one conference and having specific breakouts where the county and city people need to be separate. But in a nutshell, that is my report, and so that's what I'm asking the council to talk about and then ultimately decide is, one, are we going to continue to pay for this conference? And two, do we want to continue to plan and host this conference, if you will?
I'll tell you my thoughts. I've been to a civil conference and a prosecutor conference over a lot of years, and I think the civil conference is as important to counties and probably cities as being a prosecutorial support system as there is. And in my mind, UPC just, it's an important part of what the training that we do. If UMAA is doing a separate conference, I think they ought to be combined and still stay under UPC and make that. I mean, I look at the conferences that you do, or that we do as UPC, mm-hmm. And in my mind, the flagships are the spring conference, the fall conference, and the government civil conference. And everything after that, for me, is almost secondary in a way. But they're great things, don't get me wrong, but those are the three that I think are the most important. And I think it just ought to stay and be a UPC matter. And if there's ways we can combine with UMAA, I hate for them to pay for their own conference. They ought to, if it's the same conference, let's put it together. Maybe it'll be a better conference all the way around, but stay under the umbrella of UPC.
Who's attending the municipal conference versus the conference that we're involved in?
It's virtually.
It's all the city attorneys, the civil side of the house.
Right, but are they also attending, or is this just really a more a county oriented training for civil issues? That we are providing training.
What crossover has there been between the two conferences historically?
Between this government civil and the city civil?
Yeah, what percentage of city civil guys go to the county conference and what percentage of county guys go to the civil conference?
There's probably only a couple that go to the city, and there's probably a handful of city guys that go to the civil, because like Bob said, a lot of the stuff is covered in one or the other. Mm-hmm. And I've always asked those that plan the civil conference to the county only stuff in a block, so that the city guys are more likely to attend, you know, the days that they can, and not have to, you know, sit through the jail problems or those taxing issues, the property taxing issues. But so there has not been a lot of overlap, and I think one of the reasons is because like the planning and zoning and personnel, those type of issues are handled in both conferences.
What percentage of prosecution oriented training are we providing in the conference that we
pay for? Civil?
Yeah, at civil.
None.
Well, the first item is Brady Giglio, so
well,
it's not.
I guess so. I shouldn't say none, but it's.
Grandma is a discovery tool. I'm looking at the ones this year, and to me, they're heavily oriented towards prosecution.
Well, but Grandma's not a discovery tool.
You can say it's not, but that's not how it's treated by both defense counsel as well as the state board.
Well, they can treat it like that, but it doesn't change the fact that it's not.
No, the only point is it becomes a prosecutor's issue because they have to deal with it, or counties and cities.
I don't think we should get caught up on prosecution, because you're going to the airport to train security guards, which is 1,000 miles away from what our mission statement is, although I love our partnership with law enforcement, and no offense to them, that's a million miles away from prosecution. Mm-hmm. As a county attorney, I'm going to give every attorney in my office a badge, whether they do civil, land use, and nuisance enforcement. They're still a prosecutor, really. They're acting on behalf of the state or on behalf of the government agency. So to say the civil guys aren't, don't fall under this, that's a problem for me. And like I said, we spend a lot of time training law enforcement. I see a chart here. We're going all over the state to train law enforcement. And so I just don't think we need to put ourselves in a little tiny box.
Well, and I'm not saying we have all of our civil people fill in prosecuting when there's a need. So mm-hmm. I'm not saying that there's a definitive separation. It's more about the specific training that we're providing. If we are supposed to be providing, is it just training prosecutors, or is it training prosecutors about issues that they deal with in their criminal prosecution? Because all of those civil people can be prosecutors also, and they can be trained on civil issues. It should be about what kind of training we're providing to them. I understand there's some bleed over. I get it with the grandma stuff, but that still seems like something that SWAP should be taking care of.
I'm going to channel a few people who aren't in the room right now. It's my understanding from Paul Boyden that when SWAP and UPC separated, that SWAP would be taking on advocacy while UPC would take on training. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of talk in here right now about prosecution and prosecutors. I'm channeling Jamie Bracken right now, who always talks about how she doesn't do criminal cases, but that does not make her something other than a prosecutor. She is still a prosecutor. And so I understand that the tight spot SWAP has put UPC in by saying, well, maybe we're not going to fund this anymore with no promises in the future. But if UPC drops this civil conference, that doesn't change SWAP's mission or what SWAP is going to be focusing on. So really the vote for UPC to abandon the civil conference is a vote that may put the entire civil conference at risk, because it doesn't impose any obligation on SWAP to take it on.
One other thing is, from a county attorney's perspective, we're a whole different section of the code book compared to municipalities. And so even employee issues, land use issues. So you'd have to have instructors in the conference if you were going to invite everyone to the same conference. There'd be a lot of, well, for you with county, this is a section of the code book, this is where you go. Or this doesn't apply if you're in a city. You wouldn't find that many people that could cross over with both. And so I think it's good to keep UMPA.
No, their specialty. UMPA's different.
Or sorry, well, the
UMA.
UMA. Have them doing theirs, and then us on the county side. I found it very helpful. I've gone, I think, every year for 10 or 11 years, and so I feel pretty strongly that it's a great conference, and that's why I'm vocal.
I've mentioned this, I think, once or twice before, but the irony to me, though, is still that 89% of UPC funds come from Justice Court revenue, in other words, cities. And yet the cities pay for their own civil conference, and the county's civil conference is funded by Justice Court revenue. To me, there's inconsistency there.
And I'm not against that. That's why I say maybe if they can't be combined, I would personally think that it would be more important for UPC to train prosecutors at the city level on some of the government, on the civil stuff, than to train law enforcement people. That's just my personal opinion. To me, the mission of UPC is to train prosecutors, attorneys, and that's civil and county, or city and county attorneys.
Well, is the term prosecutor defined in the statute?
That's a good question. I don't think so.
No, what it is there's the statute indicates that the district attorney, county attorney, and the attorney general can do the criminal law.
And the city attorney.
Right, and the city attorney. Right. And then what happens is each of those designate your team to prosecute, basically. So when we're prosecuting, we're merely acting as designee of our elected.
Right. Yeah, I get that.
Explain that better.
So, yeah, obviously,
you're still half a coffee.
Obviously, it's a financial issue, and I've mentioned this before. Years ago, when the surcharge was good, we also had a part of our budget that was for unusual prosecution expenses for those jurisdictions that, that don't have huge budgets but had difficult cases where they had to bring in experts, et cetera. And we haven't been able to do that. And those funds were expended almost every year. And we haven't been able to do that for a long time. And, you know, the, responding to, you know, what Jan Ferris said about training police officers, and I saw the part that Bob has in there about them not able to, what, televise, for lack of a better term, our conferences for free anymore. I'm sort of thinking, well, maybe there can even be an exchange there. If we're continuing to go about and train law enforcement, then maybe there's something that, that POST can help us as far as that goes. But, I mean, I don't think that, you know, nobody in here wants to see the civil conference go away. It just, it comes down to, with the surcharge continually declining, we need help from someone else, you know, to do that. And that's why we were looking at SWAP, at least from a financial standpoint. I think, I mean, you know, I don't mean to step on Marilyn's shoes, but from an administrative part as far as taking care and setting up the conference, you know, UPC may still be able to handle that, but as far as the finances for the conference itself.
And SWAP is going to be making some votes on whether to take a substantial change in course in the future. And if they do that, without predicting how they're going to vote, if they do, they're going to be taking on a lot more financial burdens that they have not taken on thus far, which will make them even less enthusiastic about contributing to UPC.
Yeah.
Can I talk about SWAP? I mean, look at the purposes of SWAP, as you pointed out, and reading from the proposed bylaws.
Bylaws.
I mean, it's to effectively and accurately represent and advocate the policy and procedure interests of public attorneys. It's not built to train. It's not funded to train. We're an advocacy organization.
Yeah, I understand that, but now, so you've got those bylaws over here, and we've got a statute that says prosecutors. So we've got to come to a meeting in the middle.
But does prosecutors? And I'm sorry to speak from away from the table. But does it mean criminal? Is there something inherent in the term? Because Jamie Bracken doesn't seem to think so.
Well, what's a civil prosecutor?
Jamie Bracken.
Well, she stands alone then. I don't know what a civil prosecutor is.
Multiple roles, right?
I mean, well, I get that people can do both, right? I get that people can carry both of that load. We have people in our office that carry that load. But I don't know if that's how it is in everybody's office. So everybody...
In the small offices, yes.
Yeah.
I mean obviously our office is that way.
Well, we're small offices.
Almost everybody does that in their civil division.
I guess it's more about what training is being offered. If we're offering criminal training at the civil conference, then I think we're spending our money where it's supposed to be spent.
Well, we just have to raise everybody's hand. We don't have a separate conference, but we also train defense attorneys and anyone else who signs up for our trainings.
But we charge defense attorneys.
I understand that, but we're training them. I mean, that's not part of our mandate, but we train them because we're offering conferences on information they want to come to and hear about.
What if UPC did, just thinking out loud, what if UPC continued to organize the training but didn't fund it? The fees were actually revenue neutral. It actually costs whatever it costs. In other words, UPC doesn't spend any funds on it, but they continue to spend time on it.
So you're saying that SWAP should pay
no,
for
the, just the you're saying that
I'm
the
saying
fees
registration.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
Registration fees would cover the cost of the conference.
In other words, UPC doesn't donate any money to that conference, but it still helps with the organization.
Well, that here, let me tell you. So
last year was $12,000.
Yeah.
How many attendees?
Well, it's about last year was 69, 69
and 75.
Yeah.
There's no county and city divide on the criminal side, but it seems like there's a county and civil and city divide on the civil side as far as training goes. There's spring and fall conference training for all prosecutors, no matter what agency they work for. But on the civil side, there is this divided training, one for cities and one for counties. I don't understand why there's not a divide on the criminal side, but there is a divide on
the civil side. One divide with OOPA with you, but training versus
misdemeanor.
But that's misdemeanor. That includes county misdemeanor processing.
I understand that, but the people you have in that end up going to that are, for the most part, all city. And